There are so many cautionary tales in history, cautioning us against what we wish for, telling us to be careful because we may get something that we're not expecting. I think it was one of the monkey paw stories where a young man wishes upon a monkey paw to get 100 wives, thinking he's going to get 100 beautiful women to serve him in every way possible. And his dreams are just going crazy. And sure enough, it starts off kind of like that, you know? But it wasn't long before things took a turn for the worse. Before he knew it, he was one man serving 100 women. And they were not happy. they were not appreciative. He was not living the life that he thought he was going to live. And I think this happens quite often to lots and lots of people. Today, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the concept of freedom. And this is a good one because we fight for it, we bleed for it, we give our treasure for it. We hold it in the highest regard. We tell people this is what we want. But freedom is not a standalone word. There's always something that comes before it or something that comes after it. And that's what I want to talk about with you guys today. This is Life 2.0. Let's get into it. Now you may be thinking, John, what the hell are you even talking about? Freedom is something we hold in the highest possible regard in the West. In our liberal democracies, we have enshrined this concept into all of our constitutions, and we hold it in such high regard that we will go to war to defend it. That freedom is the aspiration of all human beings, and it is an essential human right. And I will agree with every one of those sentiments. However, there is something that we're overlooking. You're either getting freedom from something, or you're getting freedom to have or do something. And that's the part that kind of gets lost in the wash. You know, that's the part that we don't really think about very much. What brings us to mind is women of the, you know, before, you know, the early 20th century, and I guess mid 20th century, because their argument was to us men that they had no freedom, that they were all being dictated to by men, that they didn't have the right to, you know, have jobs and careers and make money and hold property and vote and all kinds of things. And I certainly can understand why they would want that. But it's just like anyone else that has a wanting or desire for something that they don't fully understand. They want it and desire it almost because they can't get it. It's not necessarily because they fully understand the benefits of it. It's more like because they just can't have it. And in having it, they think that they're going to have an advantage, that it's going to be a benefit to them, that they're going to have a net positive in the end. And I would argue that for many of the freedoms that women have fought very hard to attain, that perhaps things haven't worked out the way they had hoped, that perhaps the freedom from something and the freedom to be something has kind of backfired a little bit, at least for a lot of women. I know that women have a hard time with this concept, but I believe that it can be shown pretty clearly that women, since the beginning of civilization and perhaps even before that, were always the protected class. They have always been, and probably to some degree always will be, a protected class. Because a culture, a society, can remake itself after, say, a war or a disaster or something like that, if there are enough women that survive. You don't need a ton of men to make babies, but you do need a ton of women. And if your culture or your community doesn't have enough women, then it's very likely that your decline in population is going to reach a point where it eventually disappears. Now, going back to the before modern times, you know, when women were complaining about not having the freedom to do the things that they wanted, keeping in mind that they are a protected class, men were providing and protecting them. They were providing for and protecting them. Men were working, and they were providing income, and they were providing protection, shelter, all of that. Women did not need to manage those things directly. They were not in charge of that. They may have been in charge of, you know, raising children. They may have been in charge of household, you know, chores. But going out into the world and making a living, buying property, and dealing with the outside world was not their responsibility, and they knew it. Now, I think that probably what happened is, you know, that when some men died and some women were unable to replace their men because of age or just pure ugliness or whatever, they just couldn't find another man and they were forced then to make a living for themselves, that's when this became really a serious issue. And I can see why it would. I can definitely see why it would. Because if this woman doesn't have the ability to make enough money and she can't get a man to help her, to provide and, you know, provide provision for her, well, that becomes problematic. You know, now we've got this single woman, perhaps with children, who's struggling to make a living and have a career and support her family. Huge, huge problem. I completely understand it. This was not the mainstream, though. This was not the majority. This was a minority of the population. This did happen, and it was a shame that when it did happen. And certainly, the odds were stacked against that woman. So I can definitely see that. But she was a bit of an outlier. This was not the most common scenario. The most common scenario for the vast majority of women is that they were living in homes where they were protected and they were provided for, and they're in a partnership with a man to survive on some level. You know, they're, you know, taking care of kids, raising children, cooking meals, you know, doing household chores, washing clothes, all those things that are so essential to keeping a family functioning. And it was critical. It was critical. So along come the 1960s and 70s, and of course we have switched all this up, and women demanded equal rights in every aspect of our society, especially in the workplace. That was really where it mattered the most, because they felt like they were being discriminated against and unable to get jobs and hold careers. And of course in schools too, they wanted, it was at Title IX where they were able to have sporting events and things like that, have teams, and they could basically be treated in the same way, equally, as all the men. And, you know, I can see why they would want that, and I can see that there's certainly a lot of value, especially in education, where they should be able to attain that. I do also believe that women should have the option to have careers, if that's what they choose to do. If they choose to go down that path, I think that is a valid option, and it's something that they should have the right to do. Here's where things get kind of screwy. So the engine that drove a lot of this change was called feminism. And the feminism that existed at that time was really about just causing this change. But once this change really started getting legs and started, you know, actually being implemented, and it did take about 20 or 25 years for these changes to really sink into our society, well, it changed from being a movement to help women to then being a ideology to put men in their place. The women, and this is where we want to focus on, were kind of the victims of this whole thing, because rather than being given an option to have a career or having an option if all things failed to support themselves, they were almost being forced now into it. And it wasn't just being forced by the radical feminist. You know, it was like that ideology had so permeated our culture that now all women felt like they had an obligation, like they owed it to the women who came before them to follow that path. It's really, really fascinating. But here's where things get really crazy, going back to the whole concept of freedom, is that the women from past times that were being provided for and provisioned, they had the freedom from all of the responsibilities of the world. They didn't have to get a job. They didn't have to worry about what was going on outside of their house's walls. For the most part, the man was taking care of all that. So they were free from all of that responsibility. Now, they did still have responsibilities, but they were different. They were on a different level. Now, women have the freedom to have jobs. They have the freedom to have careers. They have the freedom to get education. But unfortunately, what that has done is it's made it more difficult for them to now move back and be free of those same responsibilities. Now that they want to be seen as equal to men, it's harder for them to make that argument, especially even just being a special class of human, that they should be protected, but going back into being that protected and provided for woman. And I think a lot of women these days are realizing that. And they're realizing that even though there were some problems with the way things were way back when, there were a lot of benefits to the way things were back then. That having the option to be a mom and raise a family and to have the freedom to do all of those things had a lot of value. And I think that's what's missing in our society today. And you can see it really at just about every single level. For better or worse, a lot of American soft power comes from our arts, the arts. And the art that gets the most attention is Hollywood. It's movies. And back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, you know, sort of like the golden era of Hollywood, it was a good thing. It was a good thing because the values that they were expressing were very foundational to who we were as a people in our country. And of course, there were lots of funny movies, but they weren't necessarily obscene. Somewhere along the line, you know, of course, during the 1970s and 80s, as it became more and more popular to talk about women's rights and women's liberation, as I like to call it, which is really kind of funny, but whatever. These movies started to make these women the heroes of these shows, you know, and we got, you know, the movies that showed how women were being discriminated against in society and how they had to overcome it. And they were inspirational stories. And when they first started, they were novel and everybody loved them and they were wonderful. But now they've gotten so out of hand that our Marvel heroes and war heroes and John Wick characters are all women, you know, and they're all killing men and they're just beating the snot out of men as if that would actually happen. You know what I mean? I just find it humorous. I know there are some women out there. I know I've seen like the cage fights, whatever, you know, martial arts where the women are really, really good at beating each other up. And I'm sure that those women are beat the shit out of me too, you know? But generally speaking, if a woman hit a man as hard as she could, it would not harm him. It really would not. And so to see these women using all these karate moves in a movie to knock out like a dozen guys, you know, just like wipe them out, just wipe out a dozen guys and just cut through them like a hot knife through butter. It's like, yeah, that is just so not happening. But we have somehow evolved as a culture to believe that this kind of thing is possible or true. And we have twisted the idea of equal into an idea of similar or sameness. This has turned into something that has distorted our view and understanding of women in relationships and how they fill an important role in society. And to have them filling men's roles, I think on occasion, can be quite effective. You know, I think that there are lots of good leaders in women. There's lots of women that, you know, make good soldiers, women that are very athletic. But generally speaking, on average, those women are outliers. They're not the common ones. They're the ones that are extraordinary in some way, shape, or form. They're gifted in something. Just like with men. I mean, not every man can be in the NBA, you know? There are some guys who are really gifted at it, and they're good at it, and they do it. But for the most of us who are, you know, not quite so vertically gifted, we're not so good at that stuff. But going back to freedom, because here's where it really kind of all boils down to, is that now women who are earning more and more money are finding they don't have the freedom to have a family. And that is the thing that's kind of blowing their minds. Because the idea that being free from all of these restraints that society was placing on them, they believe would be additive, that it would create more options. But all it really does is it just changes your options from one group of options to another group of options. And the deeper you go down that career path and that equality path, the more you move away from the traditional, I want to be a mom and have kids path. And I see more and more women are coming to terms with that right now, and they're beginning to see the writing on the wall that being out there in the world and fighting for your career and fighting to make money and trying to scrape out a living for yourself is not all it's cracked up to be. And in fact, it kind of sucks in a lot of ways for a lot of people. And it's very competitive and it's very hard. And despite what you might think, you're no longer considered a special class in that realm. Like if you're, you know, 100 years ago, you know, when they abandoned the Titanic, you know, most of the women survived, you know, now some guys did too, but almost all the women survived. Most of the men died. Now, that was because women were a special class back then. I wonder if a woman who's, you know, a CEO of a company and is a leader and is masculine and all that, you know, she's out on a cruise ship and that thing starts sinking, if all the guys on board are not going to think, sounds like it's every man for himself here. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's see who's on that lifeboat now, you know? Who's swimming with the sharks? Just saying. As women have found that they achieved freedom from what they perceived to be the oppression of the past, because they wanted the freedom to take responsibility and make decisions for themselves, they are finding that they can't go back to a time when they were free from those responsibilities. And they're beginning to recognize that those women of the past that were free from all those responsibilities actually had some advantages over the women today that are free to make all these choices and take responsibility for themselves. Now, I'm not saying that we should go back to 1900 or whatever and we should be having women serve us in any particular way. I mean, I don't want to be like that guy with the monkey paw and have 100 wives or anything, you know, that would not be cool. But at the same time, I think that we need to find some balance and understanding that there are important differences between men and women, and that those differences make us uniquely qualified to perform certain roles in relationships. And it doesn't mean we all have to fall into that template. It's not like we all need to do that. But there are some enormous advantages when it works out that way. When men and women get together in relationships, someone does have to be the leader, and someone does need to be the primary wage earner, and someone does need, if you're going to have a family, to be in charge of raising children. It always works out that way. No matter how open-minded we get about father's participation in raising children, and we are participating at a higher level than ever before, at the end of the day, those young children, up until about age 5, 6, 7, they're still going to be more dependent on their mother than their father. Once they get to that age, then the dependency spreads out more, you know. But for those early years, those kids, they're all about their mom. And I don't care how much of a great dad you are, you know, it's very, very hard to overshadow the relationship that young children have with their moms. Well, one more thing I wanted to throw in there. I saw this recently. It was a Danish study that came out that was looking at the impact of careers on men and women and how that affected fertility. Because, of course, everyone in the West is having the same problem. Our birth rates are crashing. Everyone is going through this problem. And these scientists were trying to figure out what they could do to turn things around. How can we affect the crashing birth rates in our countries? Obviously, we need to get more people married. We need to get more people having babies. And there must be some kind of government policy we can come up with that'll make this happen. So they were looking at all the inputs to figure out why the problem occurred in to begin with. And what they noticed was that for every 5% of income, additional income that a man made, he was 1% more likely to start a family. But when it came to women, for every 5% additional income that they made, they were 4% less likely to start a family, 4 times as unlikely as the men. So think about that just for a second. So when men get money, they really want to give it away. They want to do something with it. They want to grow their lives. They want to expand by having a family. Really, men want to protect and provide. That's who we are at our core. While women, when you give them money, they want to spend it on themselves. They want to be exclusive. They do not want to share it. They do not want to create a growing society. They don't want to have children. They don't want to get married. They want to be, let's say it, you know, it's selfish. They just want to be selfish with it. Anyway, I found that to be very, very interesting, very insightful about how women's rights and their ability to have jobs have had a direct impact on our societies and on our cultures, and how it does seem like as we push further and further from our traditional gender roles, we are finding that our society is breaking down and the crashing birth rates are just the canary in the coal mine. I mean, we've seen so many other things I could point to as well, but the crashing birth rates, that's sort of the one that you go, okay, something really odd is happening here. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you've enjoyed the video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who might enjoy this, please share it with them. Until next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.